Praise God forever. Thank you. Wow. Okay, maybe we could lower the volume just a little bit. Yeah. Praise God. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. And I'm so happy that that we get, Lou and I, Pastor Lou and myself, we get to spend the first Sunday of this blessed new year in this house of God with our brothers and sisters here. We love you so much. And we're missing already our Pastor Monette. Of course, we know that God has already touched her body and that she is being healed. Praise the Lord, as are so many others right now suffering with flu and bronchitis and pneumonia and all manner of sickness and disease. But Christ is Christ the healer. Amen. We know that he's not a respecter of persons. So, you know, he comes to heal one and he comes to heal us all. And so we thank him for that. But again, I just want to say Happy New Year, and Pastor Lou and I are just praying the hand of God upon your lives, upon this church, upon this ministry, and of course upon your pastor and your leaders. I believe that 2018 is going to be a different year, you know. I believe that the King of Kings is going to reveal who he is to us this year. You know, and because of who he is, there shall be miracles. Miracles belong to God's children. I mean, you know, healing belongs to God's children. Signs and wonders, he said, will follow those who believe. So all we need to do is believe and watch and see what God will do in our lives. Praise the Lord forever. Our job is to believe him. Amen. That's our job. And God will do what he says he's going to do for us. He will open up the windows of heaven, we heard here, read in the scriptures, right? And pour down such a blessing unto our lives, not just financial, but healing and deliverance and freedom and liberation and joy and peace and grace and mercy. All of these things belong to us. Praise the Lord. And so even as we have prayed this morning, I just want to open up in prayer. And Lord, just want to give you honor this first Sunday of this year, Lord Jesus. The first Sunday, the first Sabbath, the holy Sabbath of 2018, Lord. I just declare shalom, shalom over your bride, Lord. Shabbat shalom over your bride, Lord Jesus. And may she continue to rise up and give you more praise and worship you in spirit and in truth. May she begin to open her mouth and declare the praises of God and the blessing of our Lord. May she say who you are in her life. May she declare unto everyone, Lord Jesus, that you are the one true God. You alone are the King of Kings. You alone are the one way. You are the life. You are the God of gods. And you definitely are our God. You're our groom. You are our everything. And we thank you and we're humbled that we can still be here declaring your praises and declaring your glories, Lord Jesus. Because of who you are, we stand here today. In strength and power and in might, not of our own being, but of yours, because of who you are. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And the people of God, we say, amen. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, Matthew 8. I'm going to read several different scriptures today. They all pretty much will say the same thing, but I want you to get it in your spirit. We're reading in the book of Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 23 through 27. If you're there, say there. Okay, there. Okay. Verse 23. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. He, of course, is talking about Jesus, okay? And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he, Jesus, was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be? That even the winds and the sea obey him. Go with me to the book of Mark. Mark Mark chapter 4. Again, I'm going to read the same scriptures said differently, okay? First one we read in the book of Matthew, that was Matthew speaking. Now we're reading in the book of Mark, Mark 4, this is Mark speaking, okay? Go with me to verses 35 through 41. We're in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 35. Are you there? On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, again, he is Jesus, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Somebody say amen. We're going to read Luke's version of the same story. Go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 8. I want you to see something here. We read Matthew's version of that same situation. We read Mark's, and now we're going to read Luke's. Luke's version, what Luke is saying about the same situation, the same circumstance. Are you with me in Luke chapter 8? Okay, I'm going to start reading in verse 22, and I'm going to go through verse 25. So now it happened on a certain day that Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. He, Jesus, that means that he is Jesus. Jesus fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them as his disciples, "Where is your faith?" And they were so afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Amen. This is what I want you to understand. Your faith in God has power. And your faith in God matters to God. It matters to God that you have faith in him. Power is released when your faith is applied to any situation, to any circumstance, any trial, any storm. Power is released when you apply your faith to that situation. Jesus tells us not to be afraid over and over and over again. Do you know that in the Bible, it has been said by many theologians that in one way or another, phrased one way or phrased another way, God says to his bride, to you and me, to the church, 352 times, "Do not be afraid." How many days are there in a year? And they have counted that he says it in one form or another. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not fear. In one way or another, God is telling his bride, you and I, do not be afraid. How many know that he knew we would be? I guess he figured at some point in time in our lives, we would become fearful.
we would become afraid of the situation. That the trial, we would look at the trial and think the trial and the storm somehow got bigger than our God. He knew that. And so he reminds us and commands us and even rebukes us at different times not to be afraid. Fear not, says the word of God. Just believe. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to just believe when the storm is raging, when the trial hurts so much. Sometimes it's hard to just believe. God is saying to us at this time in our lives, my brothers and sisters, because of what is and because of what is to come. You understand what I'm saying? Because of what we're facing in our nation. Because of what you're facing in your life. Because persecution is coming to the church of God like we have not in America ever experienced before. God is saying to us, do not be afraid. At this particular time in our lives, and even as we have entered now into 2018, and at this particular time in history, God is telling us, it doesn't matter what you're facing. I can handle this. Just trust me. This is what I believe God is telling his bride today, telling the church today. Doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter what you're going through. God, I've got this. Just trust me. Just trust me with the outcome. I want to share an experience with you, a personal experience. I love what Sister Araceli shared. Here she was told that she was going to be laid off. How many know, for those who love the Lord, what does the scripture say? For those who love the Lord, God turns what the devil meant for evil, God turns it around for the good of those who love the Lord. She was told that she was going to be laid off. But you know, in her telling, in her sharing, she also said, but she was at peace. She was at peace because at some point in Sister Sally's life, she encountered the God of the impossible. The God who can turn anything around for a child of God that loves God. At some point, she got a revelation. God is bigger than my boss telling me I'm going to be laid off. And see, God in his love and in his mercy and in his grace will be extravagant in what he will do so that no man can ever take the credit for it. Not only was she not laid off, and that would have been a hallelujah, right? Hallelujah, I was not laid off. But see, God is bigger than just not laying off a child of God. God is bigger than that. What did he do? Well, so they come to her, Sister Araceli, that was so powerful. So they come to her and they ask her, what do you want? How many know God is asking you today? What do you want? What can you believe for? If you can believe it, you can receive it. What is it that you want? That's, you know, she preached my message. Your testimony preached my message. God is coming to his children today and saying, what are you believing for? Because so your faith is, so it shall be unto you. So what did they do? So first they threw a carrot. Do you know what I mean by that? Bait. Let's see if she will compromise what she's been praying about and believing for. And we'll give her half of what she's believing for. How many know some people would have said, hallelujah. That's not too bad, is it? Half of what I've been believing for is not too bad. She could have said, oh, you know what? Half is more than what I had before, right? If she, you know, let's just say, I do simple math because I'm not good at math. So let's say she was believing for a $10 raise. And they said, you know what? We're not going to give you 10. We're going to give you five. $5 more per hour than your last paycheck. I mean, oh, you start adding that up and you go, that's not too bad. But wait a minute, there's a condition. There's always a condition when Satan dangles a carrot. I want you to know that. There's always a condition when Satan dangles a carrot. But you got to go further to get this. And what'd she say? Let me think about that. But I know in her heart she already knew, nope, that's not what I prayed about. Nope, I'm not going to accept that. So what did they finally do? They came to her and they said, okay, what is it that you want? Sound to me like Esther in the Bible. What is it you want? I want deliverance, not just for my family, but for the entire nation of Israel. The entire nation I want delivered, not just some, not just this church, not just a few. I don't want healing just for my husband. God declared healing for all his children. I don't want just to be debt free. I want you to be debt free. And they gave her what she prayed for and maybe even more. Because that's the God that we serve. Because that's what God is saying to us. What can you believe for? Don't be afraid. I've got this. Just trust me. And so here's my experience. Sister Sally, you shared yours. I'm going to share mine. Many, many years ago, I'm thinking some 25, maybe more years ago, my husband and I, we were invited to go and preach at different churches in Peru, in Brazil, and in Colombia. And so we were invited to go, and so by a man who's since been, he's been taken home. He's living with the Lord now, Pastor Carlos Moreno. And so he invited us to go, and he said, and I want you to come. And this man had a huge ministry. It was a God connection, just like this connection with your pastor. It was a God connection. God created the way by which we would enter into covenant and partnership. And he did that with Pastor Carlos Moreno. And so he invited us to go, and so we said, yes, we will. And he said, and I have a ministry. He had a ministry of planting satellites, you know, across the Amazon and into the jungles. And he would do I don't know even how to describe it, but he would put a satellite and the word would be preached and it would go into the remote villages. That was part of his ministry. And he had a heart for the Amazon. He had a heart for the indigenous Indians of the Amazon. And he also oversaw, I think he was the president of one of the Christian or evangelistic organizations in South and Central America. And so he oversaw, he had the responsibility of overseeing over 600 churches. How many know this man had a large ministry? He had a large call on his life. And here Lou and I were invited by this man to go preach in different churches. And so we accepted the invitation. And how many know because you love the Lord, you say yes. And sometimes you don't ask questions, and maybe it's better that way. Maybe it's better that you don't ask all the questions because you might be fearful of the answer, you know. And so we said, yes, Pastor, we would love to go. We'd be honored to go. We're humbled that you would ask us to go. And so I remember that we had to take the cab from our home to get to the airport. That might have been an hour, hour and a half drive. And then we got on the plane to get into Bogota, Colombia. And that was maybe 8 hours, maybe more. And then we get there. And, of course, you know, we're thinking we're going to Bogota. We think we're going to the cities, Lima, Peru. We think, you know, but no, he's taking us into the jungles, which I did not know. Okay? And maybe it's better that you don't know some of these things, right? And so because that's where his heart was, that's where his passion was, he wanted to reach those indigenous Indians that nobody really goes to, okay? So he says, well, I have a surprise for you. We're going into the Amazon jungle. And maybe about a month before, I had seen a movie, maybe some of you have heard it, about the anacondas with Jennifer Lopez. And you can imagine what's going through my mind. We're going to the Amazon jungle. Jennifer Lopez encountered three different anacondas that were bigger than I can't even tell you how. And they swallowed people up whole. This is what I'm thinking about. And so we get, and so I said, okay, we're there already. And he's our pastor. He's leading us. He's our guide. So what am I going to say? No, you know, we're here in your country. I don't know anybody. Okay, so we're going to the jungle. So we have to take a car to get to where this little boat is. And I have to tell you, this little boat was sad looking. It was tattered. It was beaten up. I got into this boat by faith alone. Just by faith alone, I got into this boat. And maybe it could seat 15 people. Okay. And I'm thinking, and every time one person got in, the boat went like this. And I'm like, I mean, I'm a city girl. I'm born in New York City, raised in New York City, right? I'm on a little boat in the Amazon, and all I'm thinking about is anacondas. And so, you know, and every time, and they get into the boat and they have, you know, because you go from village to get to where we were going. And we were going, you know, not very interior, but enough of the interior for me. And we're passing village after village, and I see jungle after jungle. And every time we stop and a person gets in, the boat goes like this, and I'm like, and the people are getting in with their little plastic bags and with vegetables and with fruits and with food and I don't know other things that were moving in those plastic bags. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to see anything. I'm just sitting there, oh God, oh God, oh God, what have I done? What have I done? But if you love the Lord, somebody said that. But if you love the Lord, you will just do it. And I don't even know how that happens. He gives you the strength. He gives you the fortitude. You keep your mind focused on him. I wasn't looking at the little plastic bags that were moving. I said, oh, God, help me not to look at this little boat. It looks like it needs repair. My kids don't know I'm in the Amazon. Anacondas are flying through trees. I saw that in the movie. And so, anyway, as we're moving along, I don't even know how long that boat ride was. It seemed like forever. And as we're moving along, I start thinking, oh God, what if it rains? Oh God, what if a storm were to hit? This little boat is not going to make it. And as I'm thinking it, guess what happens? Starts to rain. Do you remember this? It starts to rain. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, as long as it's a light rain, I can do it. And it starts to rain and it starts to pour and the winds and the gulls and I'm like, and this little boat is going like this. And I'm like, oh, we're going to be swallowed up by anacondas. We're going to be eaten by the piranhas. And my kids don't even know I'm in the Amazon. And so I was gripping onto the side of the boat because that thing was just, I didn't think we were going to make it. By the grace of God, we got to where we were going, that village where we were going. God got us there safely. And so, you know, I'm ready to get out of the boat and say goodbye to that part of that adventure. Okay, that's behind me now. We haven't even preached one sermon yet. We haven't even preached the word of God yet. Okay, so but what happens when it's raining and you're going into the Amazon and it's all dirt? Everything was mud. So they tell us, okay, now we got to walk to where you're staying. And I'm looking at the mud. And I got to walk to where we're staying in this mud. So the mud is up to my ankles and we're walking and, you know, the bags and everything else. And I'm like, oh my God, are you for real? What, you know, is this, I mean, couldn't I go to the city? I could have gone to Bogota. I could have gone to Lima. Are you for real taking us into the jungle? He was for real. And so, but thank God we get to the place where we're staying. It wasn't bad. It was a little place, you know. And it was clean. That was the main thing. It was clean. And I remember the first night we stayed there, I said to Lou, you know, okay, we're here. We're safe. The place is clean. Tomorrow, I don't know where we're going to go to preach, but we're ready for that. And God saw us through this. And then I've got to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And I get up and I turn on the light and there's bugs, hundreds and hundreds flying in the bathroom. I tell you, the bugs in the Amazon are about that big. And I thank God there was a net over the bed, so there wasn't bugs there. And I didn't know there was going to be bugs in the bathroom at night. And there's all these bugs flying. And I remember yelling at Lou. I said, Lou, you got to kill them so that I can go to the bathroom. I can't go to the bathroom unless you kill them. Well, he tried. He couldn't kill them. But how many know when nature calls, you know? All of this to tell you that I began to talk to the Lord. I began to have a deep conversation with God. I said, Lord, I don't understand why you brought us here. I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't think I'm ready for this. And let me tell you what the Lord said to me. I want to tell you the words that he said to me. He said, stop squirming. Stop complaining. He said, fear not. He said, I can do anything. I've got this. Just trust me. And I did. And from that time on, I thought, okay, Lord, no more complaining, no more squirming, no more thinking, what are you doing to me? Am I being punished for something? You've got this. And I have to tell you, it was the most amazing mission trip my husband and I were on. Souls were led to Jesus. We discipled, we mentored, we taught. And I'm not talking about big churches. I'm talking about we went into little huts where the praise and worship team was one person. And the instruments was, oh honey, it was Coca-Cola cans and beer cans together with a string. And he would take a stick and go like that to the cans and praise the Lord. That was the worship team in the kind of churches that we went to. And maybe there were two or three people. And I kept saying, God, he said, what did I say? Stop squirming. Stop complaining. Because you know what I wanted to say. Of course, you know, he reads your mind, right? You brought us this far for three people. This far for three people. I didn't get to say it, but he heard my thoughts. And he said, stop complaining. Stop squirming. If those three people receive me, this world will be better for it. And so I have to tell you, that was a walk of faith. That was a time when I encountered the Lord. I realized that I was a person that was being tormented by fear because of this one encounter. And God said, you know what, Aida? Fear is not of me. Fear is not of me. I've given you power, might, and a sound mind. Fear is of the devil. Fear is of the devil. In each one of these instances, you see what his disciples who walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, saw the miracles, saw the signs, saw the wonders. They were at every juncture of Jesus' life when he walked the earth, and yet they were filled with fear. He said, because fear is not of me, I didn't give them fear. Fear is a spirit. And it comes upon even the children of God. God says, I will rebuke that spirit, but you need to learn to rebuke that spirit yourself. Because it'll come upon each one of us at different times of our life. Listen, don't let your troubles overwhelm you. Don't let the trial or the storm that you may be facing appear to be bigger than your God. It is not. It is not bigger than your God. The devil wants to make the situation look so big that God can't intervene. But how many know the devil is a liar? He's the master of illusions. He will enlarge something to make you think that it's impossible for you. But God says, not only is nothing impossible for God, but nothing is impossible for you. What you need to do is just believe. That's what you need to do. God can calm any storm in your life. But through His Word and by His Word, He's taught us that we too can calm the storms in our lives. We too have been given the power and the authority to speak to the storm. To speak to the situation that you find yourself in. Speak to your circumstances and say, cease and desist in the name of Jesus. And I tell you that the storm will cease to be. Instead of chaos and confusion and fear, you will have peace and you will have calm and you will have harmony. And watch what God will do in the midst of that. Go with me to the book of Romans. Romans 8. I want you to see something here. Hallelujah. You know, every one of us has faced trials in our lives, and we're going to continue to face them because this is a fallen world and because we have a mortal enemy. But as a child of God, you've got God on your side. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, how many can understand this? All things, and we know, Romans 8, verse 28, and we know. See, you've got to know this. You've got to know this in your spirit being. And we know, say, and I know that some things... Oh, does your Bible say all? Not some? Well, what if you get laid off? What if you get a notice that says, I'm laying you off in 2 months? All things. Well, what if you get a diagnosis from the doctor that says, this is beyond our help? What does God say? What if you find yourself in debt and you can't pay the bills and you can't pay your rent and you can't pay your mortgage? What does the Bible say? And this we know, but you got to know this. And this we know, that all things work together for good. Does it have a period there? No. To those who love God. That's the only condition. Those who love God. How many in this room love God? Raise your hands. How many love the Lord? Raise your hands. Then this is truth for your life. This is your truth. This is your verse. This is what you need to run with. This is what you need to hold on to. For those who love the Lord, all things, the Word of God says, who are called according to His purpose. How many here are called according to God's purpose? Listen, my brother was praying a prayer when we were in the circle. Thy will be done. We are called unto a purpose. We are people with a purpose. This is true. This is what the Word of God is talking to you about. You. This is for you. It's about you. To those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. I am being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that He might be the firstborn among brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, those He also called. I've been called. You've been called. How many here received the call? You got to know that you've been called, you've been predestined, you've been conformed. Whom He called, these He also justified. Hallelujah, I've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the work of the cross, I have been justified. And whom He justified, hallelujah, these He also glorified. Listen to me, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. That means that even if the devil means to harm you, even if the devil means to destroy you, even if the devil comes to lie to you, to deceive you, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. You said you love the Lord. Then this is for you. This works for you. This is your truth. This is what you need to run with during 2018. How many know you are in the strong, mighty hands of the one true God? You are in the hands of God. He says, I have you in the palm of my hands. He carries you in his heart. But you need to dare to believe this. How many need to believe this? You need to believe this. In 2018, this year, you need to believe, because I'm telling you, I'm declaring 2018 the year of the King of Kings. And we are the children of the King. And he's going to reveal to us that he is the risen King. God says you're going to rise from every trial that's going to come your way. You're going to rise above the fray. There's going to be disease here. There's going to be famine here. There's going to be lack there. But you're going to rise above it, because you're the child of the King of the Kings. But you got to dare to believe that. You got to hold on to that. You got to hold on, because I'm telling you, Satan will come this very moment, if not this afternoon, if not this evening, to steal this word from you. Dare to believe. Dare to believe. And see, in this time where so many, you know, people are coming down with flu and pneumonia and bronchitis, you know, my granddaughter texted me this week and she said, Grandma, she says, Lily May, please pray for her. Lily May is my great-granddaughter. She's 3 years old. She came down with double pneumonia. She's got pneumonia in each lung. Little three-year-old. And I said, Amanda, hold steady. Just pray. Just pray and believe. And we're going to pray and believe. And so she just texted me this morning. I was sitting, because I texted her early this morning. I said, give me an update on Lily May. So she just texted me. She's doing great. She's doing fine. She has a little coughing, but she's good. She's healed. And I said, Amanda, you just needed to hold steady. You just needed to believe God. God's got this. It doesn't matter if the doctor said she had double pneumonia. God said she's healed. And that's what you got to hold on to. But see, I'm not just talking about healing. I'm not talking just only about sickness and disease. I'm talking also about who God is. God is also not only Jehovah Rapha. Praise him for that. But he's also Jehovah Jireh. The God who provides, the God of provision. He's the God of your finances if you will surrender your finances to God. How many know he's the God of your tithe? We spoke about the tithe. If you will surrender your tithe to God, if you will give according to what God has done to you, offerings. You know why we present offerings unto the Lord? Because we're grateful. I don't give offerings because I'm commanded to. I don't give offerings even because I'm encouraged to. I give offerings because I'm so thankful and so grateful. And you know why I tithe? Because that tithe is not my money. It doesn't belong to me. I know some of us think it does, because it's included in the paycheck. Because it comes in the form of your paycheck. But can I tell you something? God says, if you're willing to give me 10, in fact, I command you to give me 10%. Watch what I will do. And can I tell you, some of us have lack because we're not watching what God will do, because we're not obeying the command. You think it's yours. And can I just say, with all due respect, when we keep the tithe, we steal from God. And those who steal from God, you know what the world calls them? Thieves. I'm just saying. If you steal something, you're considered to be a thief. Am I right? God is also the God that provides. You know what? The disciples walked with God and they saw miracle upon miracle. How many remember the story about the fish and the loaves? Okay, that wasn't about healing of the body or healing of the mind or healing of the emotions. And I thank God that he is Christ the healer. I cannot tell you how many times he's healed me of diseases that doctors said she'll be crippled. She'll lose her mind. It'll destroy her heart. She'll never walk again. Her blood, her skin, God's healed me from all of them. How many know my husband has come down with cancer different times in his life? God's healed him each and every time. And I thank God that we can confess, Peter, John, that he is healed. Pastor Monette is healed. Those who are sick, healed in Jesus' name. But I am thankful that he's also my provider. He's my provider. He's also Jehovah Jireh, our provider. But here's what I want you to see about that. See, the devil is no respecter of the area in which he wants to bring fear into your life. Even his disciples walked with him, and they were there. They were present. When, you know, in fact, let's just go there. Let's go to Matthew 14. I know that most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with this passage. The feeding of the 5,000. It took 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the 5,000. But it took more than that. It took faith to feed the 5,000. You know what? I come from a small family. Mother, father, 2 brothers. That's my family. Mother, father, 2 brothers. I don't have a large family. Although I look at people that come from large families, and I think it's a beautiful thing. But I do have 2 sons, and I do have 3 granddaughters, and I do have 2 great-grandchildren. So when we come together, and that's my blood family, but you're also my family. So my family is global. Amen? So spiritually speaking, I come from the largest family on the face of the earth. Right? But I'm talking about my bloodline family through my mother and my father's DNA. When we gather together, we're maybe 20. Maybe. If everybody is there, we're 20 people. Listen, we are big eaters. I'm going to say Latins are big eaters. I know Filipinos are big eaters. We eat large, okay? Can I tell you that 5 loaves and 2 fish would never have fed my small family? Never. 20 people, maybe. If we all gather together on Christmas Day, 20 people, that's my family. 5 loaves and 2 fish would never have fed my family. But God took 5 loaves and 2 fish and faith applied and fed over 5,000 people. And the disciples saw this. And fear filled their soul. Let's just read this. Matthew 14, verse 13. See, fear can come in so many different areas. Verse 13, Matthew 14. I'm in the chapter 14 of Matthew, verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Verse 14. And when Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them. And he healed their sick. Somebody say amen. God is the healer. And we thank him for that. But he's so much more than that. Verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him. Those who walked with him. Those who supped with him. Those who witnessed. Those who were there at the teaching table. Those who were there hearing the sermons and the messages. His disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the village and there find food for themselves." Verse 16, but Jesus said to them, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." What was God saying to them? What do you have? Well, it turns out they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He says, "By your faith, multiply your resources." By faith, Sister Araceli stood and got not only what she wanted, but maybe even more. By faith. By faith. By faith, the hungry were fed. Not because of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. That would never have been enough. By faith, God multiplied. And God said to them, "Why don't you walk by faith? Why don't you live by faith? Because you'll be able to do the same thing." Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Verse 18, he said to them, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men. That's not counting the women and not counting the children. Can I ask you something? When have you ever seen 5 loaves and 2 fish feed the multitudes. Not until you put faith into that equation. And faith is Jesus Christ personified. But let me tell you something. Does he live in you? Does Jesus live in you? Does Jesus abide in you? Then faith lives in you. But it's faith applied that brings forth the power unto multiplication. It's her faith applied that brought forth not only the increase of wages, but what are you asking for? What do you want? We'll give it to you. And God gives always above and beyond. Go with me to Mark 8. I want you to see it in another area. Because you see, you can walk with Jesus, you can talk with Jesus, you can live with Jesus, you can sup with Jesus, you can see what Jesus does, but God's going to talk to you about your faith in him. And that's where he's bringing his church today. Your faith in me. And we need to rise up in faith. We need to build our faith in Jesus Christ. Are you there with me in Mark 8? Verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him. See, he's wanting to pull you into the equation. Listen, where are you? Where is your faith? I'm going to pull you into this equation because my disciples, my bride, my church needs to be part of the answer. And said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have continued with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way. For some of them have come from so far. Then his disciples answered him, how can we satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? In other words, we don't have bread. We don't have food to give them. This is a wilderness. This is a barren place. He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to his disciples to sit before them, and they sat there before the multitudes. They also had a few small fish. So he had 7 loaves and a few small fish, and he blessed it. And he set this before them. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftovers. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000 people. And then he sent them away and immediately got into the boat with the disciples, and he went over to the other side. In other words, God is saying to his bride today, what are you willing to give me that I can work with? What have you got? Have you got 5 loaves? Do you have 7 loaves? Do you have a few fish? Do you have to? None of that really matters to God. God is saying, what are you willing to bring me in faith? Because I will work with your faith and I will multiply the blessings to you. See, nothing is impossible if you can believe God. God is telling us to fear not and just believe. Fear not and just believe. So I have a question for you. Do you not remember the things that God has done for you? I'm telling you, I can tell you since I'm 8 years old, God has given me so many different healings. So many. And each time there's sickness and disease that comes upon my body, I have to sit down and remember. I remember when I couldn't walk, God healed me. I remember when I couldn't eat, God healed me. I remember when I couldn't stand, God healed me. I remember when the doctor said my mind is going to go bad because the fever is too high. God healed me. I remember when the doctor told me your blood is, you know, lupus and it's running through your body. God healed me. I remember when I came down with E. coli. God healed me. I remember when I came down with bacterial meningitis. God healed me. I have to remember the things that God has done for me. Because those are faith builders. Remember what God has done for you. God rebuked his disciples. Do you know what rebuke means? A strong disapproval. I disapprove of the way you're thinking. I disapprove of the way you're acting. A strong disapproval is a rebuke. Stop thinking like that. Stop acting like that. I need for you to believe me. I need for you to trust me. I can do this. Are you bringing faith to the table so that I can work with this? Because if you are, you're going to be so mightily, mightily blessed. Do you remember anything? In Mark 8, let's just go there. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18, and then we're going to go to ministry. Mark 8, verses, let's go to 16. Are you there with me? Mark 8, verse 16. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? And how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? In other words, how is it you do not believe? How is it that you do not believe him? Brothers and sisters, it's time to believe God. It's time to stop doubting. It's time to stop doing what I did when I was in that boat. Stop squirming, stop complaining, and trust him. How many know he's got your life in his hands? Your life is in the hands of God. And if God be for you, who and what could rise up against you and have any measure of victory over your life at all? Nothing. The answer is nothing and no one. Nothing and no one. So I'm reminded again of the words that God spoke to me. You won't have to face anything, Aida, that I can't handle. And you won't have to face anything that you can't handle. What you need to do is trust me. How many will say today, I trust God? I trust God. Trust God with the outcome. Trust God with the victory. All you need to do is believe. I'm going to read something that I said last week at our church that we go to in Lake Forest. God had put this on my heart, and I read this to them, and I'm going to read it to you, because it is during this time, particularly this time of things that are going on in our nation, what's coming to the church of God, how we're going to have to stand together. See, it's not just about the New and Living Way Christian Church. It's not about Kingdom Covenant Church. It's not about the church that opened up down the street. It's about the people of God coming together in unity. It's not about Catholic versus Baptist versus Pentecostals versus Charismatics. It's about those of us who believe in God, the Father, the Son, and Jesus Christ coming together in unity and one accord and one spirit. Because if we don't, the things that we are going to experience and see will appear bigger than the God that we serve. So I'm just going to read to you what I read to the church, Kingdom Covenant Church, that we attend last Sunday. There are many diseases in the world, and the world has found a cure for many by the grace of God alone. But fear and anxiety are also a disease. It is a disease of the mind, and it has the potential to destroy your heart. In other words, God is telling us, guard against fear, and fear will give birth to anxiety. Anxiety is the crop of fear. It's what fear produces. And it is deadly. It's like a virus, and it even can be airborne. I was in the hospital last year because I contracted an airborne bacteria, a disease. I don't know who I got it from. I don't know how I got it, but it was airborne. It was contagious, and I came down with it. And I got fevers for about 5 days, raging high fevers, 103, 103.5, 102.7. And the doctors could do nothing for me. Nothing. But what I want to tell you is that this fear can be as deadly as an airborne virus. It can come upon you. I want to just be honest with you. When the doctor gave my husband that prognosis, I grabbed onto the word, and my husband grabbed onto the word, and we held on to God, and by the power and the mercy of the prayers of the saints, all of you who were praying for us, we were holding steady. God said. But there were times when I looked at him, and though the report wasn't given to me, I could see fear on him, and fear jumped on me. It goes from person to person. It's airborne. It can come upon you because of your involvement in the life of another, because you're compassionate, because you're sympathetic, because you're moved by the situation. It can be airborne. It can become contagious. Fear is a spirit. How do I know that? Because God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So when that spirit comes upon you, you need to take authority and rebuke it and cancel the power of that thing over your life. Fear is a spirit, and it's released from the very pit of hell. It is meant to devour and to tear down and to destroy. Where there is fear, soon anxiety will come. Where there is anxiety, you can bet that fear, which is the mother of anxiety, is not too far behind. God said, I have not given you that spirit of fear. I've given you all power. I've given you all authority for you to trample on that spirit and say, no more. You cannot touch my life. You cannot take my life. You cannot take the peace and the joy that God has given me. God in his great mercy has provided the cure. Just like he has provided the cure for other diseases, he's provided the cure for fear. He's provided the cure for anxiety. You have to fill your mind with the goodness of God. Remember the things that God has done for you. Fill yourself with the word of God. Eat the word. Chew the word. Read the word. Live the word. When you read this word, it will build up your faith. This is the cure for fear. Faith is the cure for fear. And you build up your faith by the reading of God's word. Let us remember God's blessings. Make intentional your time with the Lord. Make intentional your reading of God's word. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Let's just go ahead and stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to focus in on this because so many in the body of Christ are experiencing so many deceptions and lies, brokenness, tiredness, fatigue, discouragement, disappointment. And then fear creeps in because it waits to see when you become fragile and vulnerable. Maybe it's a loved one that's sick, not you. Fear creeps in when you think, oh my gosh, person's getting worse, not better. Fear can creep in, but you fill yourself with faith. Remember the things God has done for you. When you can't pay the bills, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? God says, trust him. Trust him. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you right now, Lord Jesus, that you're watching over your church. This year, 2018, Lord, can be our Jehovah Nissi year, our banner year, Lord Jesus. But we got to go into this year, Lord, believing and trusting in you, my God. Lord, we need to go into this year anchored to your hand, Lord Jesus. We have to tie the knot of faith and not let go. Lord, help us to become like pit bulls, holding on to your word, no matter what we feel, No matter what we see, no matter what we hear, we will not let go of the word of God, because God watches over his word to perform it. Lord, when you said, by my stripes you have been healed, you were not a man that you would lie. You fulfilled that by what you did at the cross at Calvary. You took those stripes, every single one, and said, because I took it, you don't have to. Because I took arthritis, you don't have to walk in it. Because I took heart disease, you don't have to have heart disease. Because I took cancer, you don't have to have cancer. I took the torment and the suffering at the cross so that you would be able to live in prosperity, so that you would lack for nothing, so that you would never go hungry, so that you would not be a child living in poverty and in death and in lack. Father God, I just want to thank you right now that we can make a choice today. We can choose to believe, Lord Jesus. I believe you, my God. I trust you, my God. Lord, I just want to thank you that you've never failed us nor forsaken us, and that you are with us today and you're with us in 2018. And Lord, I'm reminded of the three boys, Lord, who willingly went into the furnace of fire and said, it doesn't matter if God is with us. He will see us through the fire. Doesn't matter if we're not scorched. It doesn't matter if we are scorched. God is with us. Lord, it's not what we experience. It's how we experience it. It's how we walk it out, Lord Jesus. And so help us today, Lord, to rise up in faith in Christ Jesus and take you at your word. Lord, today I just want to declare that we trust you more today than we did yesterday. We trust you more today. Our faith is larger today than it was yesterday. And it will be larger tomorrow. It'll go deeper tomorrow, Lord. I thank you that you rebuke the devourer for our sake. And that he's defeated. Our mortal enemy has been defeated. You did that at Calvary. Hallelujah. That we are people who are meant to walk in victory. Hallelujah. And so we shall. And so we shall. And so this morning, I just want to give an altar call. I just want to give an altar call. If you are going through a storm right now, just like I felt when I was going down that Amazon River, and I looked at the circumstances, I looked at the situation, and I said, this poor little boat, it's not going to make it, God. And the winds came and the rain came down. And I said, Lord, are you with us? Are you going to see us through to safe ground? And you told me, Aida, trust me, I've got this. God is saying to you today, I've got this. I've got this. Fear not, I've got this. Just trust me. If you're going through a storm today, if you're going through a trial today, if you're in a situation today, I want you to come up here to the altar. And I want you to know that God is with you. God is with you. God is just saying, what are you going to bring to the altar today? Are you going to bring me fear? Are you going to bring me doubt? Are you going to bring me anxiety? Are you going to bring me faith? Come to the altar today, but come in faith, believing that God's got this. God will do it for you. If God is talking to you, I'm just going to invite you to come down. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God forever. Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want you to know that your situation is not bigger than the God that you serve. It's time for your storm to face your God. It's time for your situation to face your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, maybe it is sickness and disease. Maybe it is finances. I don't know. Maybe it's a loved one lost. Maybe you've been believing for a son, for a daughter to come and be saved. Maybe you're believing for the father to reconcile with your mother. I don't know what the situation is. Maybe like my sister, you're believing that God will supply all your needs. It doesn't matter if the boss says you're laid off. God says, no, not only not laid off, but I'm going to promote. Hallelujah. I'm going to increase. Hallelujah. Because that is who God is. He's the God of abundance. Now, I've asked you to make a step of faith and come down to the altar. But I'm going to ask you to lose doubt. Lose it here at the altar. Lose fear. Lose it here at the altar. Give it to God. Give it to God. Because it will stop the flow of blessings in 2018. Hallelujah. And you tell me, well, you know what, Pastor? The thing is that sometimes I'm in faith and sometimes I'm in fear. Sometimes I'm strong and sometimes I'm weak. God's saying, don't worry, I've got this. By my mercy and by my grace, it's not impossible for me. And I will help you to increase your faith so that you can receive what I have for you. I'm declaring 2018 can be your Jehovah Nisi year, your banner year, the best year you've had so far. It can be if you can believe God. It can be if you will trust God. Just remember your best year. Remember whatever year that was, whatever happened, remember that best year. And God is saying, I'm about to do more. I'm about to do more. I can do more because I'm the God of more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want you to bring faith to this altar today. Bring your faith. Nail the fear at the cross. Nail anxiety at the cross. Nail your doubts at the cross. And I'm not looking, God is saying, I'm not looking for men and women of giant kind of faith. Just a seed likened unto the mustard seed of faith is all I need to do the miraculous. People would say, but I'm looking for men and women that are giant in their faith. No. God is saying, just bring me that seed of faith, even as small as a mustard seed. I will work with that and watch and see what I will do in your life. Hallelujah. You're about to see the miraculous. You're about to receive what you've been praying for. You're about to see your situation turn around because those who love the Lord, because those who love the Lord, because those who love the Lord, what the devil means for evil, for harm, God is saying, I'm going to turn it around for good, for good, for good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
because we've earned it or deserved it, but because He loves us. Fear not, for we are redeemed, bought by the blood of the Lamb. Fear not, we are redeemed. God has called us by name. Cleansed us in righteousness and removed all our shame. Those who are blind now can see the depth that is that they may now hear the lame that now may.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Father God, that you're here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And you have encouraged us and you have lifted us to higher places. We're going higher and deeper, Lord, because we love you. And because you love us, we are victorious. Thank you, Jesus, for all that was done here today. I thank you, Jesus, for the impartation and the anointing. I thank you for what you said over your children here today. Lord, we bless our pastor, Pastor Monette. We thank you, Father God, that even right now in her bed, Lord Jesus, she is being strengthened and empowered and imbued from on high, Lord Jesus. I thank you that she is steadfast in her vision, Lord, that she will not be moved, Father God, from what you've called her to do, Lord Jesus. So I speak strength to her body and to her mother and to those that are homesick today, Lord Jesus. I thank you for her life, Lord Jesus. We're blessed because she's in our life, Lord Jesus. This world is better because she's in this world, Father God, speaking and serving and declaring your praises, Lord Jesus. We bless our pastor, Lord. We bless this church, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we will press in and press on and accomplish what you've called us to do in 2018. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen, amen. We love you.
Praise God, brothers and sisters. Amen. It's like, you know, when Pastor Ida was telling her story, it's like the Indiana Jones movie. It's Lou and Aida Jones. Amen. It was something, right, going to the Amazon. Amen. So praise God for the call in their life that they are very submissive to the word of God. Amen. Right now, we're going to take our second offering.